Welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. Today, we're talking to Bob Lee of Daktronics Creative Services. He's the Strategic Creative Manager and helps our customers bring their displays to life with digital content. Bob's going to give us a little insight into some interesting and cool pieces he's been asked to create for our customers and other interesting things we've seen within the industry. Okay, we're here today with Bob Lee, and he knows quite a bit about our digital content creation. He works in our creative services business unit, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about some of the trends we're seeing in the industry today and how creative services can help make those for our customers. Bob, I believe you have some information for us.
My primary focus is really to collaborate with our accounts team on initial strategies for success. From we might do, presentations through the proposal stages, project discovery, project launches, even some creative direction I'll do, and sometimes even resource management. So my focus really is to work with them, and help to ensure our customers are successful. So maybe that's a lot of hats that I end up wearing, but I think in the role I have an opportunity to not just work alongside of them, but work with a variety of customers from professional teams, collegiate teams, commercial accounts, and we just kind of work through their vision together and how best to utilize the display for their engagement and fan entertainment.
How long would you say you've been kind of in this role helping out customers at these various levels?
I've been with DAC for, 12, 13 years now, and I've gained a lot of, experiences working with some of the bigger accounts that we've had. And so I think more recently I've had the opportunity to really help steer a lot of the projects up front just because of the experience that I've had working with some of these larger teams, really seeing the industry grow quite a bit since I've been here. And so this specific venture, this specific role that I've been in recently has really allowed me to spend more time not just with our internal team trying to solve, but really uncover with a lot of our customers what they're looking for. Majority of them have a pretty good idea of what their vision is going to be, but I get the opportunity now to maybe dive in a little bit more with how to accomplish that so that we're all sort of on the same page and the whole team, both ours and theirs, works together towards the result instead of it just being a matter of what's the next thing that we can do and that sort of thing. So.
Okay, yeah, that's great. What do you think you've seen from your experiences out there as some of the more interesting trends that these customers are looking for?
It certainly has changed a lot in the last decade. I think nowadays you could see a lot of teams are looking for simplicity in content management. They're looking for the flexibility in how to execute. It's very high demand from a technical standpoint, right? They have a lot of games. They need to turn a lot of content over. They're obtaining a lot of content from fans and from themselves and from different sources. So it's not always about what is being created, by us or by other production teams, but also how, they're basically gathering all this and trying to manage all of it. So that's a big thing, I think, that has really stood out in the last few years is how teams are able to successfully, simplify the management of their stuff and be able to turn around and execute it. Diversifying your inventory is a big thing too, meaning, when you have an 80-game season or, even your football seasons from game to game or week to week, there's an interest in changing up your content, your pre-built content. Updating or refreshing it from game to game has kind of become the norm. You're seeing that with just standard assets all the way through to even some of what the advertisers are doing to something that either evolves or changes so that you're not seeing the same show over and over again. That seems to be a big trend that people are going for.
You mentioned like handling content from fans. And when you're saying that, you're kind of meaning, social media engagement on displays. Is that kind of the content you meant when it comes in from fans?
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting because not everything can be pre-planned, right? So we know there's a big push, not just in live events, but there's just a big push for engagement in general. And so anybody that can participate, whether it's through social or any sort of activities or, in our case, even a fan standing up and cheering is considered an engagement. So that's a part of it. But we see a lot of what's coming in is not a predetermined thing. There's definitely some redundancy in the industry, and there always has been, right? So you're going to have your teams that are asking for your specific bulks of content, which are going to be things like a make noise prompt gets people up and makes them cheer. And
yep.
So that tends to be something that everybody asks for. So that's your standard, you know, listing of things that people will want. But it's the anomalies that are a little bit different. So, yeah, trying to curate stuff from social media and turning that around, or even moments that happen in the game, right? Some of the most memorable things that you end up seeing are, you know, a great catch in a playoff game, for example, things like that. So all of that turns around and becomes very fluid content right away. And so the demand for that sort of content and the agility that's behind that, I think that in and of itself, or the nature of wanting to present that sort of thing, has sort of become what the trend is. How do you keep people involved beyond predetermining what the types of graphics they're going to run are? There's definitely been this maturity over, you know, the last decade, in that there's an accurate representation of the team's brand is standard, or even their sponsors and their partners, right? That's an expectation that has to be there now. And so in our case, we definitely find ourselves focusing a lot on developing their show elements that fit their campaigns, or in some cases, it's even we have a feeling, or we have a way that they want their game day to feel, and so we create content, you know, caters to that. So, and we excel at that tremendously because we've grown with the industry in doing that. But with all that redundancy that they have, what gets interesting when then they start to go, okay, what is the baseline of what others are doing? So we establish that, and everybody kind of knows that generally, you know, and we say, that's easy. Here it is. This is the formula. And then it turns around and it comes back to us as, well, what can we do differently?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it gets really interesting. It comes down to what levels of storytelling we can represent through these styles. Instead of just creating the pieces, it's what can we tell, how we can capitalize on those specific moments. What's a new way to capitalize on an event that we know is going to happen, a touchdown is going to happen, it's got to be this way, that sort of thing. I think one of the biggest things that we tend to see, and maybe what some of the trends are that we can talk a little bit more about, technology tends to be a driver in a lot of that.
Yep.
Right? So if you were to go back and you're trying to tell the story and you want to capture the specific moment, well, what's the way to do that? And there are, you know, are different ways to maybe give you an example of this, and that let's say when there's a touchdown, now we want to take over all the displays. Well, that's not actually something that's been around forever. That's in the last few years, people want to capture that entire moment and surround their fans in that excitement. It hasn't always been that way. So the technology that's there allows that sort of thing to happen. Or we hear things like single canvas, where we have center hungs that now it's become the norm, I guess, instead of the trend, to take over all the center hung displays and have one large piece of content around that.
Would you say, so there's the different types of things that you know are going to happen to go into a game, things you got to get reactive for when it does happen. When the game is going, when you have some of those pre-planned events, I'll call them, you know, interactive games that we see at some different facilities, what are some of the things you're seeing customers do with their content to try to draw them in? We've talked about social media a little bit, but are there any other interactive game type things that you've seen out there?
Yeah, so, you know, again, we know that's what this is about. It's how do you get the fan to actually participate? You don't want to take away from the story that is the game that's being played, but how do you do something to you know, engage them a little bit more, make them voluntarily participate in something.
Yep.
So in some sports are, I'm not going to say better at it, but maybe that's the way to position it. Baseball, for instance, has a lot of innings, breaks. And so you might see those kinds of games and contestants involved in those types of games a lot through a baseball game versus, you know, it might be a little bit of a different approach with football. I think one of the trends we see a lot with football goes back to social. We have dedicated boards now that are just running social feeds for people to, you know, constantly put themselves up there and see a responsiveness to that. It's all about now keeping them engaged beyond what's happening, because there are breaks. There is an attraction to them wanting to be a part of it and wanting to be involved with it. There's also, we know on the partnership or sponsorship side of things, that's a big push as well, right? It's not just about putting a logo up billboard-wise.
Yep.
And sometimes that has to happen because that's where the deal lies. But the reality of it is that they're looking for new ways to capture fans too, because you can just look at the trends beyond what we're doing and say that people don't want to watch commercials. And and that sort of approach is more of an antiquated one. Now it's how do you get them to pay attention to your product, your brand, your service in the context of that game day. So it has to be something that matches what their experience is right away. And you'll see that through some, you know, interactive games and more attractive storytelling through the kinds of ads that are running.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've seen a lot more and more of sponsors sponsoring the social media feed. Like you're saying, it's not just enough to have the spinning logo on there. They want to be able to get people's eyes on their company. And when people are looking up at a video board when social media is going on, is a terrific way to get that. When it comes to social media, we've kind of talked about just going up on a screen. What are some examples that you've seen? Is it just going through a whole bunch of pictures on Instagram with a hashtag, or what are customers doing with social media? Like, how does that actually look on the display?
Well, I think that's the most common thing, and I'll go back to that in 1 second. You're absolutely right about the sponsorship part of it. I mean, that's a different realm of how they, you know, sort of interact with the fans on a social level. But you know, people like to look at themselves. It's quite interesting if you spend any time in a stadium watching fan responsiveness when you watch them look at the displays. Because, you know, in a lot of cases, they're looking at them for the common things like replays. And, of course, there's a feeling that happens when a touchdown or a big moment takes over, and they may not be looking right at it because they're watching the players celebrate, but that interaction of the displays triggers feelings for them. Those kinds of things are traditional. Now all of a sudden you're seeing these dedicated displays for social, and when they take pictures, they're holding it up, and they're not taking pictures of the field, they're taking pictures of themselves being seen on the social media feed up on the screen. So I always think that's pretty interesting, because you know then they're resending out what they just saw. Look, I'm on the screen. So
they're taking a picture of their picture.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just a cyclical participation that is big for them. And I think that's the most common thing that you see, especially with a lot of these dedicated. But they have to, you know, these teams have to do this now. It's not just even carving out a part of what we're seeing as, you know, what we would call their, you know, main presentation display. It's more so, can you have these specific boards so this is a repetitious thing endlessly? Because we know when we go to games, we're on our phones, we're looking at other information, we're doing that kind of stuff. But a lot of times the reason why we're doing that is because we're doing it for social means. I'm at a game, check me out. This experience is something that everybody needs to see. And so it's obviously big.
So you're talking about these different ways that people are looking at the game and looking at the displays. And we talked about social, like, yeah, everybody used to say, oh, my video got up there, and now it's social of them being up there, their picture shared on social media. What other types of content are we doing with displays to try and draw in those fans in different ways? I mean, you mentioned there's the standard things of, yeah, we need a touchdown animation or a get loud animation or whatever so that the people see it and they respond. And we've done a little bit of talking about the social, but what else is out there as the type of trend for content itself that's being used to interact?
One great example is a lot of what's happening with responsive or interactive data graphics. There's been a huge push for a lot of that to be not static, more compelling as it's presented. Over the last few years, that's been a really big trend, a really big push. And it's happening. You know, you go to a baseball game and you see odometer scrolling strikes and balls and outs. You see a lot of responsive graphics for data and as they move. It may not be something that necessarily the person sees, the fan sees, the eye sees, but the team wants to do those kinds of things. That's more compelling. It's just a more intricate way to put on a more entertaining show on details that may not necessarily be something directly related to the fan responsiveness, but it's a team expect it. We see a lot of this kind of stuff on broadcast, and that steers the way a lot of times for what these producers are doing in bowl, you know. So that sort of trend of, you know, animating the way the data is coming on or the way the digits are coming on or just something that makes it a little more lively is an expectation that from a technical standpoint, you want to be able to accomplish that now. How many fans see it? I don't know. There have been some creative ones we've seen too where, pitch speed, a mile per hour speed is shown with a flame or something that's a little more reactive. And so, you know, fans are getting some responsiveness out of something like that. It's just a creative way to turn a digit into something a little more entertaining. And that seems to be pretty popular for the teams themselves to do.
Yeah, and I'd even say it's the where that expectation goes has definitely been a wider range now. I know I've seen a lot of colleges, I would say even some of the video boards we do for high schools, where all of a sudden you mentioned broadcast look, and that's something that we hear a lot. Can I get that broadcast look for the data on my display? So it even, you know, the range, it used to just be professional sports, maybe minor league sports, but I know it seems like it's just covering all the different areas now. People just see that, and it's almost an expectation that they can do something like that.
Yeah, and the technology is there for it now, right? I mean, that's the expectation to do it and the expectation that it can be done. You're right. That's spot on. It's pretty interesting. One of the things we talk about quite a bit, and this is where it gets hard even talking about trends per se, is that a lot of times, again, it's driven by the technology, and sometimes it's a new inventive idea, but it always centers around the storytelling aspect. How captivating of a story do you want to tell? And that could be, you know, an entire game day, or it could be really at a micro level kind of thing. And that particular element, how you spin it a little bit different than the next one and tell that story so that it's custom, you know, for that particular team. Even some standard content can be turned around and made a little bit more customary and something that is original for a specific team.
You had mentioned earlier in our discussion here about, you know, the term augmented reality. You hear about that a ton now. I know even just with phones doing it, whether it's an iPhone commercial, whatever you see on TV. Have you seen anything in your customers that you visit? Have they done anything with augmented reality to engage with their fans?
Yeah, I think when we think of augmented reality, it can be really captivating when you see, you know, a butterfly land on a table while you're holding your phone up, you know, or I think I remember one during the World Cup a couple of years ago where I could juggle a ball, which I can't do in real life, but I could juggle a soccer ball in augmented reality. So there's that sort of interactive augmented reality. But, you know, that our industry is unique in a lot of ways. It allows both the entertainment, and now we've been talking a lot about the engagement, but there's also this big data part of it, too. When you put all that together, there's a lot of opportunities to do something advanced. A technological thing like augmented reality could be as simple as just projecting the line, the first down line, or the line of scrimmage in football. That's considered augmented reality, and that's something that we've seen. There are actually a handful of teams who are doing that, you know, pretty well. And again, I think we talked earlier about, you know, simulating broadcast, and it, that's where it came from. And there's an expectation, I think, when you watch it on broadcast now. Now it's a little bit more even that changes the scope of how data itself is presented, in that you've got your down and distance that's showing a lot of times. And that's all considered augmented reality because of how it's treated or placed within the environment that's there versus it just being an overlay of stats.
Yeah, and then if you think about, there's another term that we've heard a lot in the industry, not maybe not all the time in the sports industry, but it's called forced perspective. That's kind of like a little bit different than augmented reality. Can you explain maybe the nuances between the two?
It's hugely captivating. We've had some success with our product in Vegas. There's a really infamous project that was done for the SLS Casino, and we've gotten a lot of calls creatively talking about how it was achieved. And we weren't the group that had created for it, although they are Dectronics Displays. We understood how it was done. And it's a pretty interesting technique in that it basically puts you, if you're in a position, meaning forced, into a position of viewership. And when you're in that position and the displays, you know, they basically have to come a side panel and they have to converge, a front and a side or a side and a bottom. You have to have converging planes from that perspective that allow you to alter the vanishing point of content. So traditionally when you create something on a flat display, whether it be a TV or ours or computer monitor or even on paper in a lot of cases, you can create three-dimensional looks to things. So we can create a 3D logo that's there. And from a camera perspective, technologically in the program, it has depth to it. But we're looking at it through that camera perspective. In the case of forced perspective, you have to alter where that vanishing point is located. And what that means is, by positioning yourself where those displays converge and by putting a vanishing point off between those two displays as if they were a true dimensional box, your content is projected to look like it's floating or it's suspended or it's contained within that box that's there. So it's really a sophisticated and very, very nice looking presentation. You see it more so in art installations. I've seen a few that are... And the displays don't have to be equal. So I've seen some where the front face of a wall is the display, and then maybe only 2 or 3 feet around the side. So when you create the illusion, it looks like it's maybe a 2 or 3 foot thick box that you're looking into and seeing. And I've seen that in front of, I think, some corporate office buildings before. And then, like I mentioned, the SLS one is huge because it's big. It's right over the bar. It's something that everybody can see. There's a ton of pictures that you can find, and I think YouTube videos that you can see of it. There's a face that floats around and some really crazy looking content that they've created for it that's really appealing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've definitely seen those ones. We'll make sure so that our listeners kind of know what we're talking about. We'll put a link to that SLS one in our show notes. We have that one on our Dectronics YouTube channel. It's definitely one of the highest performing videos we've ever had on that channel. It's one of those, you know, you weren't kidding when you're saying it gets really hard to explain this. It gets really technical. So we'll make sure to put some show notes, some link in the show notes here so people can go back and look at that to kind of, you know, match up what you're saying. And then once they see it, I feel like that'll definitely help them, know what we're talking about.
So you're saying there's some good opportunities out there for these trends, including this force perspective content. It's a possibility, and like you said, with most of the other content out there, it's all about what the customer and what the teams are actually trying to do within their venues. So it's not far off that we could see a team down the road saying, hey, we're ready to try this force perspective in bowl, as you said, in the main playing area. So there's opportunities out there, and you've shared quite a few different trends with us. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave the listeners today?
I think when we talk about trends, a lot of times it's really what is that specific piece of content, right? That's kind of been the nuts and bolts of what this conversation has been. But the reality is when you look at going forward, the success is going to be how a lot of these designs or a lot of the storytelling from an execution standpoint can be accomplished within building the displays to facilitate just those ideas. I think that's a big thing that people should think about. I definitely think the trend in the future is going to be if we can build the technology around what some of these captivating stories and ideas can be, there's a lot more value in the actual purchase and install of LED technology or anything that is customer facing in that regard.
All right. Thank you, Bob, for joining us today and sharing a little bit about what you do here at Dactronics and what you're seeing out in the industry there.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. It was fun.